Hey mama, I want to invite you to something. I am hosting a free anger management bootcamp on the podcast May 13th through the 17th. Monday through Friday, there will be a new episode released teaching you where anger comes from and what goes on in your brain when you feel intense feelings, how to lower your stress and increase capacity levels as a mom, how to shift your mindset to align your actions with the mom that you want to be, and how to break generational anger patterns. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a day and sign up using the link in the show notes so you can get access to the episodes as soon as they drop and an email summary of the daily trainings, as well as access to a live Q&A call on the last day of the bootcamp. Invite one or three of your mama friends so they can learn how to manage their emotions well too. Link to sign up is in the show notes. I can't wait to see you in there. Let's get back into this podcast episode. Dear friend, if you are separated or divorced and you have to co-parent with the father of your children, and you notice that it's draining you and it's creating so much tension and sucking the life out of you, and you feel chronically overwhelmed and stressed out, and it's constant chaos, this episode is for you, my friend. My friend Mickey is here to teach you how to handle some rough and challenging situations. She is a co-parenting coach. She has went through divorce herself, and she'll learn a lot of lessons along the way. So if you're struggling and you're right in the midst of it, tune in into this episode. You will learn how to have internal peace and calm even when the other co-parent is making things hard, how to set boundaries with someone that is being difficult, three ways to respond when the co-parent is doing something that triggers you. What do you do in those circumstances? And there's a lot of other extra things that I'm just excited for you to learn about. So Mickey is a co-parenting coach. She has a book that she wrote that I will link in the show notes. She also has a podcast, and I think you will find this conversation extremely helpful if this is the circumstance that you are in. Also, if you have a friend that is divorced and is struggling in the co-parenting dynamic, share this episode with her. I think she will find it also extremely helpful. All right, let's tune in into this episode. Hi, Mickey. Welcome to Emotionally Healthy Legacy Podcast. I'm so excited to have you here.
I'm excited to be here, Elizabeth. Thank you for having me.
Share with me something that you have been loving lately. It could be anything, anything random or something that you've been using or anything that you've been loving lately.
Yeah. So honestly, I downloaded the Pause app. Have you heard of it? Mm-mm. And it's a breathwork app, and it just is on your phone, and it can give you like 3 and 5 minute breathwork sessions, which has been a really great way for me to kind of take a little bit of a break and just recalibrate, right? Sort of reset my nervous system. So maybe before I start work, definitely before I pick up my son from school, if I'm having a little bit of a charged morning, just being able to have like the 3 minutes of somebody super, super chill and calm, walking you through a breathing exercise has been, I've been loving it.
I love that. I had an app similar to that that I used to use, and it would also be like 3 to 5 minutes. And it's amazing how like that can be so helpful to decompress. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of us underestimate the power of breath. And yes, one of the things that I teach is doing it proactively. Don't wait until you are freaking out to do deep breathing, because you don't want to do deep breathing then. But when you're starting to feel a little bit tense, like you said, a little bit overwhelmed or a little bit stressed out, it is so wonderful. And I love doing that through transition. One of the things that I do is when I'm done working and then I go pick up my son from school and I put my daughter in the car, she's typically fine with no music or anything. And it's a 5 minute drive for me, but I don't listen to anything. I don't play anything. I just have complete silence in the car. We live in Florida. It's nice outside. I'll put the windows down and just get fresh breeze and just silence. Because once you pick up the kids from school,
there's no silence.
And so, I'm going to enjoy my 5 minutes, but I love that. I love that using it like in the transitions or just maybe before you start your work day. I did that. I was teaching my client that like after work, before she picks up her son from school, I'm like, just sit in your car for like a few minutes in silence. It is so helpful. It just is. Just close your eyes, take some deep breaths, and I'll be recommending that app. So thanks for sharing.
Yeah, it's a great one. And you know, I'm a devoted meditator. I have been, I think, so I was thinking about it the other day, November of 2024 will be 4 years where I've never missed a day. And for me, that's how I start my day. But there are a lot of times throughout the day, right? I think to your point, we have to do things proactively, but then there's also just those moments or where we start to feel ourselves get like a little, you know, agitated or whatever. And breathwork is such a great way to just connect back to yourself, to your body, to God, and to reset and keep going. So yeah, it's been a great app.
Yes, I love it. Well, I invited you here today to talk about how to have peace in co-parenting. Mm-hmm. And before we get into our topic, I want you to share a little bit about yourself, who you are, a little bit about your family, how many kids you have, where you're from, and who you help and how you help them.
Oh, well, thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm a certified life and conscious parenting coach, but I focus on, like you said, co-parenting. I'm the host of the Co-Parenting with Confidence podcast, where I talk all things co-parenting all of the time. Most importantly, I am a mom to my 14-year-old son, and I also have a four-legged that I cannot forget. He's under the desk, as he always is. And I co-parent with my ex, his wife, and then they now have a son. And I never intended to be here. Never thought that I would be divorced. I never thought that I would be co-parenting. I never thought I would be a coach, any of the things. But a little bit of how I got here, you know, I thought that I had really built the life that was sort of disaster proof. I had checked every box that you were supposed to check. I went to college. I had a great business. I was an entrepreneur. I got married. We had the house. We had the son. I had checked every single box that I thought that you needed to check. And then in what felt like an instant, one night, it all came crashing down when I realized that my marriage was not what I thought it was. And without going into detail on that, it became a journey to try to save our marriage and figure out a way to sort of move through it. I'm, as much as I'm a co-parenting and divorce coach, I very much am pro-marriage, but what I'm mostly is pro-family. And when I realized that our marriage wasn't going to be able to last where both of us felt good about it, I decided that we were going to divorce and that we were going to do it like the best possible way. Again, this like, this is me. I go in hard to figure out how to be the best at whatever I'm doing. You can tell I'm a little competitive. So I decided, you know, we're going to do this, but we're going to do it still being a family. We're just going to be a family in two houses. I had no idea what that was going to look like. Nobody in my family was divorced. I had no friends that were divorced. I really felt like I was alone on this island. And unfortunately, it came with a lot of shame. And that shame kept me very isolated and very alone. And I would love to say that it was easy. I would love to say that we figured it out and it was, you know, we just learned co-parent really peacefully together, but it wasn't that way. I think some of the things I had to learn how to do was, how do I show up for my son in a way that feels good to me? I was filled with anger. I was filled with anxiety. I went through, you know, I've on and off struggled with depression since I was a teenager. It became very highly escalated during this time, but I was very reactive and unloading on everyone around me, but thought I was keeping it all together. I thought if you looked at my life from afar, I was the greatest looking divorced person, right? I had figured it out. I was always nice. I always had a smile on my face. I was, you know, I always got the, oh, how are you doing it? But inside, I was falling apart. And for me, the turning point really started when my son, who was at this point, he was 3 when we separated, he was about 5, when he started showing some real significant signs of for his trauma of having 2 houses and the anxiety and a mom who was going through all of this. And I got very angry at that, I have to say, because I did everything to not let our marriage and the dissolution of our marriage affect my son. When it did, I got really upset. And because I was trying so hard to not let it, and I realized that I couldn't control that. And so I started on a journey of really, I kind of just got to the point where I thought the end of my marriage, I was broken. When this happened, I sort of fell into pieces again and realized like something's got to give and I got to figure out a different way. And I started on a journey to really figuring out how to heal my mind, my body, and my spirit so that I could show up and be the mom that I wanted to be for him. And it was through coaching that there was a lot of therapy involved too. But it was when I found coaching that I started to be able to make actual transformation in my life that I hadn't been able to do on my own. And I started finding ways to really start to shift, to just feel better, to be able to function better, to be able to parent differently. And I believe wholeheartedly that every parent has the capability to create a harmonious home for themselves and their children, even after divorce. Even with a difficult ex, even with chaos. Like we all have that capability. And it's really learning how to step into that. And that's why I'm so passionate now about really being co-parenting, but parenting, actionable parenting support so that we can improve our internal peace and our overall wellness so that we can be that soft, loving, safe place for our children to land.
That's beautiful. Thanks for sharing your story. I think nobody who gets married ever thinks like, oh, we're going to get divorced. No. Not a single person. I do remember that when my husband and I were getting married and our pastor at that time, he shared that he's like, there will be times where you guys disagree. There will be hard times mm-hmm. in your marriage where you guys won't get along and you probably won't even like each other. And mm-hmm. I was thinking to myself, he has no idea. We have real love going on here. Like, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, like when you're in love.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I, we got engaged shortly after we started our relationship. So, but we knew each other. We were in the same like Sunday school class. We knew each other for years, but we were both, I would say, in love when we were getting mm-hmm. married. And so we went through a hard time in our mm-hmm. marriage, and I never thought I was going to handle the things that I had to handle. Some things were really difficult and really, really hard. And I think a part of it is that's why I am where I am today because of that, because I went yes. through those challenges. And same thing for you. You are here where you are and you've become the person you've become because you went through those hard things. And mm-hmm. there's a phrase that my coach says, she's like, you are given what you need. You're given the circumstances that you need to become the person that you want to become and become mm-hmm. that person that God is calling you to become. You're given the circumstances that you need. We say, oh, I want to be patient. I want to be calm with my kids. I want to be loving and understanding. Well, how are you going to develop those qualities if you don't have the circumstances for them, right? Correct. Like you're never going to have patience or develop patience if you don't have the circumstances for them to practice right. being patient. And so thanks for sharing your story and just being like transparent with that. And I wanted to talk to you about how to have peace and co-parenting, because it's all great when you get along with a co-parent, then you can have peace overall. I have friends that separated and divorced and they get along with the father of the children and they're in good terms and it seems great. It seems fine and working for them. The problem comes in, how do you have peace and co-parenting when the other person is acting like a jerk? Right. And they are unkind. They are narcissistic. They are rude. They mm-hmm. say mean and hurtful things. Because I have multiple friends right now that are moms that are co-parenting. And one of the biggest things that they come across is the father speaks negative things to the kids about their mom when mm-hmm. she's not there or even in front of their mom. Yeah. So having that perspective, I wanted to have more peace and calm my co-parenting. How would you navigate that challenging circumstance? I'm just going to throw you right under the bus because you're here for the hard stuff. Yeah. Tell me, how do you navigate that in a way that is peaceful and calm and that you can reflect on and be proud of the way that you showed up in that moment?
Yeah. So I want to separate something here. The peace and calm, right, that I want to talk about is the internal state. It is state of being, right? It is not that your outside world is peace and calm, right? And there's a difference here. And that's where I want to talk about, because what we can't do is control the other co-parent, right? Like everything you just described is the other co-parent doing what they do. And listen, parent alienation is a thing, and it is horrific to the parent that is bonded and, you know, and to the children, and so detrimental. So, but what I wanted to talk about, I think I really appreciate your question, is like, how do we stay calm? There are times you don't want to stay calm. Listen, I'm the first to say there is a time you put the stake in the ground and you do not accept behavior that is being given to you. The only way you can get to that place, though, is to learn how to protect your own well-being, which is learn how to speak up with conviction, how to hold boundaries that protect your peace, learning how to cultivate calmness within yourself, experiencing a greater sense of calm in your interactions and more clarity in your decisions, and learning how to really reclaim your freedom, which means not getting drained by the conflict, but learning how to make sure that you're welcoming in the time and the energy for what really matters, right? So how do we do all that? So that's really where we have to shift the focus. If there's one thing that we all see, it's divorces about separation, taking sides, defining ownership, creating these like fences to contain everybody. But when we co-parent from that place, it only perpetuates isolation, fuels more conflict, and creates even more problems when the people won't stay inside their fence, right? Which is what you just described to the other person. So instead, the conversation that I really want to talk about and look at is healthy, empowered co-parenting, which is you living in alignment with you and your children's well-being, right? Notice I said nothing about the ex right now. It is all about how are you focusing and showing up in support of your well-being? How are you creating the space and the calm and the groundedness that you need to be able to weather the storm? And that's where I really focus on talking to co-parents, because we can't control what the other person is doing. Now, I'm not saying you don't say anything. I didn't say that, right? If the other person is saying negative things, either to you or about you when the kids aren't there, you know, we have to be really careful about how we're interacting on that. If someone says, if they say something disrespectful to you at drop off, maybe it's saying, you know what, I don't appreciate it, and I will not accept those words, right? Or I will no longer continue to participate in face-to-face drop off if you're going to be disrespectful. And then you don't. That's a boundary. A boundary is all about what you will do in response to something. And so we have to learn. Oftentimes we think boundaries are, I'm going to set this boundary and you can't come past it. No, they can do whatever they want, right? That's free will. But what you're saying is what you will do in response. And so really shifting your focus to start to say, what am I going to do to create peace and calm? It might look like not engaging on texts that get really nasty. It might be walking away when the other person is being disrespectful. It might be saying to your children, if they said, well, Dad said you said this, if it's not true, you can simply say, no, that is not accurate. I never said that. You don't have to say your dad's a liar. Your dad's painting a bad picture of me. It's just, no, that's not true. Right? And sort of holding that. But with that conversation, I also want to be really careful that one thing that I always do is how we are viewing our co-parenting, and our children should never be in the middle. If our kids are in the middle, they are like a pawn in a game, and that is not where our children need to sit. Our children need to set center, meaning that we are revolving around them, right? They are the sun that we revolve around. And so it's important to make that distinction when we start to think about, well, how do I involve or not involve my kids in that kind of conversation? There's no right or wrong. It's just, how are you showing up in support of, again, your well-being and being the soft, loving, safe place for you and your children to land? Does that make sense?
That does. And I like that you mentioned that we can't control other people. And I teach this all the time. You can only control what you think, say, and do. You can't control other people. We can influence them. We can impact them. But we can't control them. And that's where the hard part comes in. Mm-hmm. And I think many moms that probably come work with you, they're like, I want to get him to stop doing this. I need him to do this. Mm-hmm. And they can't control that person, and they feel really, really frustrated and feel maybe even mad, which leads me to the next question is like, how do you let go of the control of the ex who is unkind to you? Maybe he even, maybe it feels like he's trying to make your life hard.
No, they are.
Yeah. Or they are, right?
Oh, they are.
maybe they like, he does not take the kids when he says he's going to come and pick up the kids. Maybe when the kids are at his house, they just eat a bunch of junk and watch TV and play video games all the time. There's no rules. And maybe he doesn't pay the child support. Maybe he communicates really poorly. And the natural tendency is to want to control that, because that feels so frustrating when you're not being heard. Maybe you communicated clearly what you're asking for. So how does a mom navigate that? Because I threw a bunch of stuff right now at you, because I have several girlfriends and this is exactly what they're dealing with. And they feel so extremely frustrating when they're being let down over and over again. First of all, their ex hurt them or betrayed them in the first place, or was abusive. And now they separated. And now he is just being unkind to them, not helping with the child support, not paying what he's supposed to. And then just not taking ownership, telling the kids he's going to take them out, have a fun day with them, buy them some things, and then doesn't follow through. Now the kids are disappointed and crying, and now you have to deal with their emotions. And all you want to do is control this guy to just have them be a decent human. So walk me through that, because I feel like that is the hard things. You're like, darn it, like, don't I have enough to deal with? Now I have to deal with him making my life harder. It's just one of my friends is like, I just sometimes pray for God to just remove this person from my life just because they're making my life so much more chaotic and so much harder. Speak to her, please.
Yes, I will. Okay. So first and foremost, like, my heart goes out to her, right? And it's when, again, when we see our kids that are affected by it, it's like one thing we can handle it for, you know, it's like we're going, we can like sort of stuff it down. But then when they impact the kids, it's like, oh, you know, heck no, that's when Mama Bear comes out, right? I'm not saying that Mama Bear shouldn't come out. This though is one of those times where we really start to have to make a choice. And I teach a three-step framework: awareness, agency, and aligned action. So the reason I bring this up right now is because when we think about sort of the chaos and wanting to have more calm in it, well, we have to start to understand actually what's going on. Because what I see so often with so many clients that come in, all the things you just described, right? There, it's a free-for-all over there. You know, he doesn't do bedtime. It's like, you know, fast food or ice cream or, you know, unlimited screen time or whatever it is. So then the mom, because we're talking to moms, is over here and she's like, well, I have to swing all the way over here to this side of the pendulum because he's all the way over there. That is a reaction. That is not a choice. It is, you are reacting. It's like, you know, oftentimes we'll like just parent in reaction to what's happening. Like, this happened, so I have to go all the way over here. But that's oftentimes just our brain doing what brains do, which is like seeing things in very black and white. When we're in that black and white phase, we're not making really colorful choices. And so what we have to first do is simply become aware Awareness is just understanding like what is actually happening in the reality right now. Am I triggered? Am I activated? Am I having a big emotion? Am I angry? Right? Like, what am I reacting to something? Stopping long enough, if we realize like I'm feeling really triggered, I'm feeling really agitated, stopping and asking yourself, like, what is actually going on right now? That first and foremost. So as soon as you start, like, because there's usually we have these like loops of conversations that we've had a million times, how he's making my life so difficult, how we just are praying that he'll just be removed from our lives completely. As soon as you realize you're in that thought patterning, you're in reaction, right? You're in a moment. So that is our first step. That's the first step of awareness. We want to hit the pause button, take a deep breath, kind of like we talked about at the beginning of this, so that you can calm your nervous system, get your thinking brain back online. But then we go to agency, right? Which is simply a fancy word for choice. Once we're aware, okay, I'm activated, this is happening. Now I have to start to look at what are my choices available to me. God made it really easy for us. There's three, right? We're simple creatures. We can't take too many, you know, we can't take too much in at one time. So we can accept something, we can change it, or we can leave it. And if there's a fourth option that someone knows about, please tell me because I haven't figured it out yet. But accept means, can I accept the situation exactly as it is and move on without anger or resentment? If you can do that, fantastic. Like, we're not having a conversation, right? Oftentimes you can't, right? Because the anger is there, the resentment is there, the disappointment is there. So then you go to the next question, which is change. Is there something that I can change that would shift the situation? Notice I didn't say, is there something they can do? Because we have no control there. So it's really, is there something that I can do that would shift the situation? And then there's an important follow-up to that. Do you want to? Because sometimes there are things you can do and you just don't want to, whether that's out of principle, you know, whatever. Maybe it's that they're not paying child support. Could you give in and take care of everything? Yes. Do you want to? Maybe not. Right? So that's, there's accept, there's change, and then there's leave. The leave looks like, can I leave the situation either figuratively, literally, you know, can I physically leave the situation? Can I emotionally leave it, or can I energetically leave it? So this could look like, and let me like break that one down. So something I see so often is, for some reason, when people get divorced, they only communicate via text, right? Or there's those ones that are really high conflict where they're only like through a court appointed email system or something, right? So the problem here is that like you and I are having this conversation. You can hear the inflection in my voice. You can hear, you know, there's context. You can see my facial expressions. There's more going on. We're only using text. So much is left out. In my mind, text is for, did you get the laundry or didn't you, right? It's for beef, right? Like, it's very simple things. But when we start to put an entire conversation, things get lost. So the reason I bring it up is like, maybe you send a text to the other co-parent that says, hey, are you coming to the soccer game on Friday so I can bring you XYZ? And maybe the other co-parent says, I can't believe you're asking me that. You're always second guessing me. You know, I hate when you do this. And then you respond, you're like, no, I was just asking so that I can, you know, bring the thing to the game. And then attack, right? And then you feel the need to defend. And then it starts this cycle of attack, defend. And then you're in the nastygram sort of spiral. There is an opportunity. Can you accept that the person is saying nasty stuff to you? No. Can you change it? Nope. But can you leave it? Yes. You can leave it either energetically and say, I'm just not engaging in this anymore. You can leave it and say, I will not continue this conversation. When you're being disrespectful, out you go, right? And then you hold it. But it's starting to understand, what are the choices that I have available to me? Not or what is everything I wish would happen, but actually in this moment, what are the choices that I have available? And then based on that, which one is going, we start to go to number three, which is aligned action. Which choice is going to keep me going in the direction I want to go? Not necessarily get me there, but how can I just shift, right, towards that woman that I want to be, the mom I want to be, the co-parent I want to be? And that's how we start to make decisions over time that protect our peace, that keep us grounded, that keep us calm, even in the face of the ridiculousness that's happening. As we're taking agents over our own lives, we're moving in a direction that feels aligned for us, that's getting us where we want to go, regardless. It's like unhooking yourself emotionally from the baggage that they are and saying, no, I'm not going to drag you along with me. I'm going this way. And if you're not on board, I'm going to unhook and you can go do your own thing. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. And that is so practical. And I love those mindset shifts because and having a framework to even go through, this is the circumstance. Can I accept it? Can I change it? Can I let it go? And those are really good and really practical. Just even sit down and journal through that. Am I willing to accept this? And sometimes like my friend, the kids go over there and they watch video games and they, you know, eat whatever they want to and go to sleep whenever they want to. And she chooses to accept that because that's just the choice that she makes. Right. And, or when it comes to child support, she's like, he's barely paying anything. I'm choosing to do something about it. And I texted her the other day, we were talking about it. And I said, okay, these are the circumstances. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
What are you going to choose to do about it?
That's right.
It is what it is. Are you going to choose to go to court and try to make some changes, or are you going to choose to accept it? And he's not the type of person where you can have a normal conversation with them and be like, hey, you know, this isn't really enough for three kids. Realistically speaking, you're supposed to pay triple that. And so she chose to take it to court and make some changes. And I am rooting for her because that's probably the best thing because for her circumstance. So thank you.
Yeah, and it's really
that.
Absolutely. And it's really just having that awareness and that willingness to like look at things in a more realistic, honest way, right? It's letting go of all the story that we're bringing with us and just looking at it in this moment. What do I have control over? Because I don't have control over the past, right? It's already gone and doesn't exist. I have no control over the future, right? And worry is just a prayer for more chaos. Right. So it's like coming back to, I always ask clients, what time zone are you in? The past, the present, or the future? The present is where all your power lies. The other two don't exist. So what do you want to do today in this moment? And when we start to show up from that way and we get out of the reaction and we start to get into, I call it responsibility, the ability to respond. This is where this three-step framework helps us really start to choose our response and get out of that reaction, right? Where we're just like pinballing between whatever the other person is offering us, because we don't want them to have any more of your internal peace, your emotional peace. They don't deserve that. That's yours. And so you are the one who protects that.
Yeah. So well said. Well said. I have one more question for you. Is how can a mom deal with the resentment and the bitterness and the pain and the anger in a way that does not hurt her children and make the situation worse, right? Because oftentimes when a couple does get divorced, there's just almost every time there's some pain that comes with that. Somebody did something, there was some hurt, and let's say he's in the wrong in the circumstance. Let's say he betrayed her or he was abusive. And there is a lot of that pain that turns into resentment and bitterness. And then you're spending most of the time with your kids and you're noticing that it's coming out on your children. Let's say even anger, right? And frustration. So what would you say to that mama? How can she help herself not to make things worse in the circumstance?
Yeah. So I know that all you teach about anger is they have all of those tools and skills to be able to sort of navigate that. I think what's coming up for me right now is to be very frank. And you mentioned that the other person was sort of to blame or at fault, right, for the end of the marriage. And whenever there is infidelity or betrayal at the end of a marriage, there's a lot, it's very easy to focus on the other person, what they did, how untrustworthy they are, all of the wounds that they created. But what I have seen and found over working with so many women and through my own experience is that the real wound from infidelity is the lack of trust we have in ourselves, because we start to second guess ourselves. What didn't I see? What didn't I know? How did I let this happen? How could I go back? How could I not have left sooner? Like all of these questions, as much as they seem in reaction to what the other person did, and it is, it eats away at our own self-trust. It eats away at our own self-love and belief of worthiness. And this is where that bitterness, that pain, that resentment, and that anger like gets its claws in and really starts to take over, and you become kind of a version of that, right? I know for me, that's what I started to allow to happen. Where I was so angry, I was so resentful, I was so anxious that I was letting that become who I was, right? And that's where I was parenting from. So really the work that I had to do and the work that I do with the moms that I and dads that I work with is really learning how to create more self-trust. How do we heal and build back that innate knowing of worthiness, that innate knowing and belief that we are lovable just as we are? That, right, bad things happen, but we're not bad because of them, right? How do we start to trust ourselves more and more? Because when we have more self-trust, we show up differently, right? We don't accept the things. We have a greater ability to be able to say, like, that's you and your stuff. You hold that, and I'm going to take my stuff, right? Like when it's like the game of hot potato, remember? Like kindergarten, they'd throw the potato and you catch it and then you throw it because it's hot. Don't pick up the potato. Like if he's throwing the hot potato at you, just watch it. Like watch it land and be like, no, that's your hot potato. That's not my hot potato, right? And I joke about it, but I tell people like literally envision that they're throwing a tinfoil hot potato at you. Are you going to pick it up? Because you're the one that's going to get burned. We've got to learn to not pick up other people's garbage and baggage and heap it onto ourselves. So when we notice that we're sort of like really weighed down with the angerness, with the bitterness and the resentment, that's a sign that it's time to take our backpack off and kind of sort through it. Am I carrying other people's crap here? And if I am, like, let's get rid of that. And then let's deal with ours, right? So I can have less to carry and keep moving through it, right? It's a constant evolving of the backpack, right? But that's what we do. And so for that person, get support, right? Whether that's a therapist, a coach, through church. I know I teach in many divorce recovery groups. There's so many good groups, but we've got to be willing to talk about it and learn the tools and the skills to not have all of that suppressed negativity inside of us, because it just eats away at us and it can't help but come out. And so that's what was coming up for me when you asked the question.
Yeah, you explained it really, really well. Thank you so much. I really do like your answer. And I like that you really shared a lot about how we can't control other people.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't, but then we can have the internal peace, mm-hmm. and still choose actions that are aligned with that internal peace and who we want to show up as. And so if a mom is listening to this episode and she's a single mom and everything that you were speaking on today really resonates with her and she's really struggling and she needs help and support, mm-hmm. what is her next step to connect with you?
Yeah. So the next easiest place is I have a co-parenting audit, which is simply, it's a way that you and I go through your life and co-parenting and you audit everything. It's a low cost It's only $297, but you go through and you figure out exactly what's going on. Then you and I get on a call and we decide one area that we are going to focus on and shift for you. And we're going to create an actionable plan to shift it. We're going to give you all the obstacles and the strategies that you need to move around it. And then you get 2 weeks of Voxer support. That's like a online or like a walkie-talkie app. So you get 2 weeks with me on Voxer, where we actually go through and make these shifts happen. The reason that this is so helpful is because it's a rinse and repeat cycle. This framework and a lot of the strategies that I teach, when we can learn to do it in with one small thing, then we can start to move it into other areas of our life, right? This is how we sort of see transformation happening. And so I've created this really simple container to be able to experience big transformation in a short period of time. If that feels like some people are like, oh, I'm not ready for that, you know, there's the podcast. There's my book, The People Pleaser's Guide to Co-Parenting Well. I have Instagram. Like, I pour as much value as I can. And I'm also always here. Feel free to DM me any questions and I'm happy to chat through it. So we all need support and to realize that we're not alone in this journey. And co-parenting feels like you are, you're not. And so it's really reaching out and getting that support.
Thank you so much. And I will link all of that in the show notes, ways to connect with you and your book and your podcast. What is one thing you want the listeners to walk away with today? If they could remember one thing from today's conversation, what is it?
I want them to walk away knowing that they have the ability and the capability to reshape their home and create a more peaceful, harmonious environment, regardless of what is happening around it, around them. And you do that by simply focusing where you are, where you want to go, and taking one step at a time in that direction. But you are 100% capable of it, and you're 100% worthy and deserving of so much goodness.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your wisdom and just your life experience and for sharing so much valuable content today. So I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Here.
Thank you for all you do. I really appreciate you as well.
Friend, all the links to connect with Mickey are in the show notes. You can book a free breakthrough call with her. You can order her book. You can listen to her podcast. Go check out her social media, her website. Every way to connect with her is linked in the show notes for you. I'm so grateful for this conversation because there's so many mamas in my audience that are single mamas that are struggling and are having a rough time. So here are the takeaways from this episode. You can choose to approach a hard circumstance from an internal state of peace that comes from your mindset. Yes, there's our faith and our Lord, who also will give you internal peace, but your mind is also extremely powerful. You need to shift your perspective so you can have peace in a circumstance. Number two is setting boundaries for you to create peace and calm. So figure out, what will you tolerate? What are you not going to tolerate? It's not about controlling the other person. It's about protecting yourself. And number three, you have three options when someone is doing something that is extremely triggering for you, because you cannot control other people. You can accept it the way that it is. You can change it. You can speak up. You can take some action and do something about it. Or you can let it go. Let it go mentally. Let it go emotionally. You can physically walk away if possible. Those are your three options when someone is doing something that is extremely triggering for you. My friend, thanks for being here. If you found value in this podcast, in this episode, please share it with someone who is going through this journey and that will find it helpful as well. And I will see you in the next episode.
Hi, friend. Did you learn something new or found value in this episode? If so, would you stop right now and share this episode with one Christian mama friend who has young kiddos and could benefit from this message? Word of mouth is the best way to spread the word and grow this podcast. Also, if you enjoyed this podcast, would you please rate and review on Apple Podcasts so I know that this content is helpful and I can continue to create more episodes. This is really the only way for me to know that you are blessed by this podcast. I'll see you soon, my friend. God bless you.